Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Chaim Hillowitz. Maseches Sota has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Noach Stengel Le'ilui Nishmas, Ephraim Eliyahu ben Yosef and Chana bas Shmuel Halevi.
Sota daf lamed daled. Our sugya is discussing the process through which the Bnei Israel crossed the Nahar Yarden at the time of Yoshua, and the Nisim which occurred after the Kohanim that held the Aron stepped into the riverbed of the Yarden. Now the Gemara at the bottom of Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis made mention that this was indeed a unique situation, that it was the Kohanim who were the ones who were carrying the Aron, as the Gemara there said a few lines up, B'chol yom v'yom ha-levim nosin es Aron, b'yom nasu ha-kohanim, that normally it was the levim who were the ones who were given the charge to carry the Aron HaKodesh in the Masos of Bnei Israel. But today, when they crossed the Yarden, it was the Kohanim. The Gemara also adds, Om Rabbi Yossi, a few lines from the bottom, B'shlosha mekomos nosu ha-kohanim es Aron, k'sh'aber os ha-yarden, k'sh'isibu es yiricho, k'sh'echziruhu le-mekomo. So it seems the Pashas of Gemara that it was a unique phenomenon that the Kohanim would be the ones carrying the Aron, that it wasn't an everyday practice. There's a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvahs as to how exactly we construe the mitzvahs asay of carrying the Aron, i.e. the Kohanim or the Levim. The Rambam in Mitzvahs Asay Lamed Dalet says that there's a mitzvah, Shiyisu HaKohanim HaAron al-Kasfeim, there is a obligation placed upon the Kohanim, and it's before the Rambam specifically of the Kohanim, to carry the Aron whenever we have a need to, or a desire to carry it from one place to the other. The Rambam adds, even though it's true in the Midbar, when the Levim were the ones carrying the Kelim, they were the ones who were given this mitzvah. That was only because the number of Kohanim was very, very minimal. It was only Aaron and his immediate family. And they wouldn't have been enough to carry the Aaron and do everything else that Kohanim needed to do. And therefore, the mitzvah was, for a temporary period of time, given to the Levim. Amnam ledoros chayovim mitzvah zu ha-kohanim v'hem yisa'uhu. It is the Kohanim who are the mechuyovim in the mitzvah of carrying the Aaron when we want to carry it, ledoros. And the Rambam says, kemo shizbar, sefer Yoshua. And L'chor, the Rambam is referring to the story here in Yoshua, that when they crossed the Yarden and came in Eretz Yisrael, it was the Kohanim, in fact, who carried the Aron. And the Rambam understands that this is the Makor, that after there were more Kohanim available, the mitzvah was in fact placed on them, L'doros, to be the ones who will bear the Aron whenever there's a need to carry it from place to place. And the Ramban, in the Sharashim of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, that the Rambam wrote as a Hakdama to the Minyan HaMitzvahs, in Shoresh Shlishi, is Masig quite strongly on the Rambam. The Rambam there in his Shoresh Shlishi is discussing that he will not count mitzvahs in his minyan of the Tarig mitzvahs, any mitzvah which only lasted l'shah and not l'doros, only mitzvah which only given for a certain period of time but had an expiration date, but it's not given forever, does not belong in the minyan ha-mitzvahs. And the Ramban in his discussion of the Shoresh brings up this mitzvah asay that the Rambam wrote, that there's a mitzvah for the Kohanim to carry the Aron. And even though the mitzvah was given to the Levim originally, that mitzvah, that chelik of the mitzvah was batel. And ultimately it is the Kohanim have the mitzvah ledoros. Ramban comments, first of all, that which the Rambam says, that it was nisbatel from the Levim, chalila lanu, shenomer shenishtana shum mitzvah b'torah. How could the Rambam make such a statement that there's a shinu in the mitzvah? The Levim are the ones who are given the mitzvah. Certainly the Torah did not pass the Levim from having this mitzvah forever. How could the Rambam say that it was only practical considerations in which the Levim took over the Kohanim's mitzvah, and then the mitzvah was taken away from them? Certainly, there was no shinui in the mitzvah. It's impossible for us to say that there was a shinui. Moreover, the Ramban writes, and our sugya l'chor is mefurish, not like the Rambam. The Gemara says, as we read, that every day the Levim were the ones who carried the Aron, and only on certain occasions was it the Kohanim who were the bearers of the Aron. And the raya that the Rambam brought from Sefer Yoshua is not a raya b'chlal. It's mefurish in our sugya that this is an exception, that this was one of the unique situations in which it was not the Levim, but rather the Kohanim who carried the Aron. And therefore, the Rambam concludes he doesn't understand at all how the Rambam can say that the mitzvah l'doros is on the Kohanim, l'chor is mefurish in the psukim, mefurish in the Gemara, that the mitzvah is on the Levim, and only under unique circumstances was the mitzvah given over to the Kohanim. Now, in the Sefer Chidushei Maran Riz HaLevi from the Brisker Rav, there are Michtavim in the back. And in one of them there, he discusses this machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban. And he writes as follows, that the Rambam understood that be'etzim, there were two dinim, there were two bechinas that were found in the carrying of the Aron HaKodesh. One is the din, what he calls the din avodas masa, that is described in Parshas Vamidbar, Parshas Naso, which is given to the Levium, regarding all of the kelim in the Mishkan, when they were carried around in the Midbar, and it's what we find in Tanakh, when they are carried later to throughout the Masos of the Mishkan in Eretz Yisrael. So that was given to the Levium. The Levium were the ones who were charged with carrying the Klei HaMishkan, and the Aaron has no exception to that. The Aaron, as one of the Klei HaMishkan, certainly had a din of Avodas Masa, that it was meant to be carried wherever the Mishkan traveled, wherever the Olamoid traveled. It was one of the Kalim of the Olamoid. And that mitzvah was given to the Levium. That, the Rambam felt, was only a mitzvah l'sha. As soon as the Olamoid and all the Kalim that were attending it arrived in Yerushalayim, in the Mokam, in the Beis Olam, in the Beis HaMikdash, that mitzvah ceased to exist. There is no longer a din of Nesias HaLevium of Avodas Masa on the Klei HaMishkan, and therefore the role the Levium have in carrying the Aron has come to an end. That's why there is not a mitzvah on the Levium carrying all of the Klei HaMishkan. But the Rambam held there's another din, there's another bechina, another aspect which exists in the mitzvah of Nesias Aron. And this is something which is unique to the Aron as opposed to any of the other Klei HaMishkan. And the Risk Rav there shores up his claim that there's a separate mitzvah to carry the Aron in particular based on a pasuk in Parshas Ekev, which seems to make reference to a unique din of Nesia on the Aron Bris Levad and does not mention any of the other Kalim. And that was the mitzvah the Rambam counted Lidoros. And there the Rambam understood that in fact that mitzvah was Be'etzem Nimsar to the Kohanim. It was the Kohanim who were Lidoros charged with the ones who would carry the Aron around whenever the need arose to do so, and not the Levim. And even though it's true that the Levim were able to fill in for the Kohanim and do this mitzvah on their behalf if there was no possibility of the Kohanim to do so, but Be'ikr and Be'etzem, the special mitzvah of carrying the Aron in particular, was chal on the Kohanim. And that's what our Gemara is making reference to, that there were situations in which the Aron had to be carried on its own. And in fact, if we examine all the three of the examples, the Gemara says, the times when the Kohanim carried the Aron, it was, as the Gemara said, Kishavu es Yarden, Kishisivu es Yericho, Ukishach Zerulim Komon. All these situations, it wasn't a masa that was done in the context of the entire Olamoid traveling from place to place, making its way towards the place it was supposed to settle, making its way towards Yerushalayim, the Beis Olamim. It was the Aron that had a particular mission, had a particular purpose, that it had to travel from one place to another, either in order to make the Melchama on Yericho, or in order to make the Nisim in the Yarden, or even to bring it back from after the Plishtim took it. As well, in all these cases, there's a special mitzias, special situation in which we had to carry the Aron on its own. And that's what our Gemara is making a point of saying, that in these situations where we had to make a point of carrying the Aron on its own, then the Kohanim were the ones who were charged with this mitzvah. And as well, we find that Brisk Rav makes reference to this, that there was the Yitzia of the Aron that went out. We'll see later in our Masechta about this as well. The Aron accompanied the Bnei Israel out and they made Milchama. And there, even though it's not clear, the Mashmos is that it was the Kohanim, in fact, that were in charge and were giving the role and obligation to carry the Aron out to bring it to the machane of the Milchama. And again, that's because it's another situation, another instance in which there was a special din that we needed the Aron. The Aron had to be used as the kli that we're nosei, and it wasn't an Aron that was being carried in the context of the masa of the Olamoid, that the Olamoid was traveling from place to place, but rather we had a particular purpose and agenda in carrying the Aron out to a particular place to have it there and be there with the machane, and that din is in fact chal on the Kohanim. And that answers the Raman's questions from Ar Gemara, because Ar Gemara is only describing the contrast between the Avodas Masa of the Levium and the special din of Nesia of the Kohanim. But it's true that whenever there is a special din Masa, that whenever we have a particular agenda in which we need to carry the Aron for whatever reason, if it's for Melchama, if it's to do Nisim or other special circumstances which demand the presence of the Aron there, then the Rambam said that mitzvah is on the Kohanim. And that is a mitzvah of the Doros. That's always true. Whenever the need will arise, even if it's after the Aron has already arrived in Yerushalayim, if theoretically the need would arise to have the Aron beat in a particular place, to do Nisim or for some other purpose, that mitzvah would have to be done by the Kohanim. And that, as you mentioned, is a mitzvah of the Doros. That's how the Rambam learned the point Ar Gemara is trying to make. That's the context of Ar Gemara, and not like Ramban's Havana, that it was something which is unique, a harasha kilu, but be'etzim the mitzvah on the levim. The Rambam held, no, this is two types of amasa. There's a masa of the levim for avodas masa, to travel from one place to the other, part of the travels of Almoid. And then there's the nesiyas ha'aron in particular, wherever we have a need for the aron as a special kli to do nisim or some other reason, that had to be done by the kohanim, and that was the mitzvah of the dorah. So the recap, we see in our Gemara that there seems to be the pashtus, a unique situation in which the Aron was carried by the Kohan, but usually was carried by the Levim, and that's certainly the Havan of the Ramban. And he asks this as a question on the Rambam, who wrote that in fact the mitzvah of the Doros is incumbent upon the Kohanim and not the Levim. And the only reason why originally the mitzvah was given to the Levim is that the Levim were the ones who were capable of doing so, the Kohanim didn't have enough numbers. And Ramban was displeased with this. He said, how could the mitzvah be mishtana? We quoted based on the Brisker Rav in the Mechtovim at the end of the Sefer, no, that in fact Rambam held that Be'etzim, there's a separate mitzvah of Nisiyas Ha'aron, whenever we have a need for the Aron as a unique Kli, not as one of the Kli HaMishkan, which is traveling together with the Olamoid, but something which is a special, it's the Aron HaBris, has the Luchos, then the mitzvah will be on the Kohanim, and that was not a Shinu in the mitzvah, that was always meant to be in the Kohanim, the Levim only did it when it was not able for the Kohanim, were not capable of carrying out that mitzvah. And that's not the same halacha that we usually have on the Levim to do the Avodas Masa. That's a din midin Kli HaMishkan and not midin the Aron. And Gemara is describing the three situations in which the Aron was needed as, in particular, the Aron had a particular mission, a particular task, a particular goal that we needed to do Nisim or other such reasons. And that's why the mitzvah was done by Kohanim and not by the Levim, as was done in general. Tosfos in Divrei Maaseh Odom quotes the Yerushalmi, which says that while Bnei Yisrael were standing in the Yarden, Yeshua told them to be mekabel on themselves the nistaros. And this reference is defined in the pasuk of Hanistaros Lashem Elokeinu Vaniglos Lanu Vanenu Ad Olam, which, as is well known, the Gemara in Sanhedrin in the sixth parak darshins, at least according to some Tanoim, that after Bnei Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, after crossing the Yarden, then Bnei Yisrael were also mekabel the inyan of Arevos, that Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazen, even for Nistaros, even for Averis, which are done privately, the Tzibur as a whole is held responsible. And Tosis goes on from the Yerushalmi and says, Omar Lehen Yoshua, Im Einatem mekabelim esa Nistaros, Hamayim Boyen v'shotvim eschem. That now that the water is piling up in a wall, as like Argamar describes, that if you're not Mekaba, what you're supposed to be Mekaba now, the Nistaros, when you come into Eretz Yisrael, the water will now come and be Shotev, all the people standing in the riverbed. The Sefer Taras Kenosks asks on this Yerushalmi from the famous Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Peches, which says, when Hashem gave the Torah to Bnei Yisrael, he was Kofalim HaKigigis, he held Har Sinai up above them and threatened them that if they're not Mekaba the Torah, Shom take for Aschem. They will all meet their end at that point. And the Gemara then says, Mikan Midah Rabo L'Araisa, that this is a clause which we see that because Bnei Yisrael were Nensu, because they were coerced and forced into being Mekabel the Torah, they are therefore not held responsible for the Onesh of not keeping the Torah. And it's Yadua, the Kasha of the Rashba, and other Rishonim over there in the Gemara in Shabbos, that they ask, if Bnei Yisrael were not held responsible for their averos until the time of Achashverosh, when they were mekabel the Torah mi'ahava, why then did they have the gullus? Why then were they held responsible given the onesh of Churban Bayis Rishon? And the Rishonim answer that there's a special tanai made in the Kabbalah Sa'aretz that if they're not mekabel the Torah, then they simply broke their contract, as it were, in getting Eretz Yisrael by not keeping the Torah, irrespective of whether they were forced. That was certainly the terms of getting Eretz Yisrael. They have to keep the mitzvos. But with regard to all other inyanim and all other onshim, the mashmos of the Rishonim is that this taina of being coerced, being nenas, to in fact be mekabel the Torah, is a taina, and therefore it's a reason not to be nenash. So if that's the case, how can our Rishonim say in our sugya that Yeshua told Bnei Yisrael in the Yarden that if there would not be Kabel, the bris of the Nestoros, then the water would come and be shotev for them. How could this bris, how could this threat hold any water? So the Torah's Kenos offers an interesting answer. He says there's a chilik we can make between Kfiyas Harkigigis and the Shtivas Maim of the Yarden. He says Kfiyas Harkigigis is an unnatural situation. The Bnei Yisrael standing in the Midbar innocently next to Har Sinai. Then Hashem comes and creates a situation which is not natural, that the har is being suspended over them in midair. Then that's a real onus in which Hashem created the problem, so to speak. Hashem created the threat. And in this unnatural situation, then it is true that there's a valid taina that we were nensa, we were coerced into the Mekabel the Torah. But here, the nace of the yarding, the water piling up and not continuing to flow down. So the opposite is true. The natural state of someone standing in the yarden is that the water is going to come and flow and wash him away. And the fact that the water was not doing that, that was negative teva. So the nace was something which made it that the threat should not come. It was holding the threat back. It was holding the thing back that was going to create the onus. And he proves this up to the Maharik. The Maharik says Yesod, that whenever someone is monea tova to a friend of his, in other words, he doesn't do bad to him, doesn't harm him, but simply does not do something good on his behalf, that's not considered an onus. If I was expecting my friend to do a favor for me, which would have helped me, and because he doesn't do a favor for me, then I get into trouble with some tanai that I made, the Maharik says that's not considered onus, simply the fact that someone did not do a favor for me. So here too, ke'ilu Hashem continuing to keep the water standing up and do the nes, of not having the river run its natural course, and be shotif anyone who's standing in the riverbed, that's just a menias tova, and that's not a tainus onus. And the Torah's Kenos adds that even though Hashem told them to go into the Yarden, one might have said therefore that Skilu Hashem created the threat, created the unnatural situation of them being in trouble, in sakana, and vulnerable to the Shtipa Samayim. He proves from a few Makoros that's not true, that even if they're doing it al Piyatzivu Ilamaisa, once they're in the riverbed, then since your natural course of events would have it, that they should be in trouble, they should be susceptible to the Mayim, and the only thing which is helping it is the Tova Hashem is Kilu doing for them, of not having the water being shotev, but rather keeping as a nace, the water pile up as a wall. So that's not considered an onus. That's only a menias tova, which doesn't have a shame onus. So that's b'meila, the pshat on the Yerushalmi, why it is that Yeshua was able to force them, ki'ilu, to be makabel, the bris of the nestoras while they're in the Yarden, because this situation of menias tova, of not letting the water run its natural course, and doing a favor, ki'ilu, for B'nai Yisrael, and keeping the water up as a wall, that's not an onus, it's not considered a coercion, and therefore, there is a valid taina on them that they have been makabel the bris of the nistaros. The Gemara towards the bottom of Amud Aleph reports that the avonim which Bnei Yisrael took out of the Yarden and brought with them to Gilgal each weighed 40 sa. And the Gemara says we have a Kabbalah that the amount that a person can carry when someone else helps him lift the load upon his shoulder is 3 times the amount that he can carry when he has to lift the load on his own. Therefore, we can conclude that those people who carried the avonim, which weighed 40 sa, were actually capable of carrying 120 sa, which is 3 times 40, as Rashi notes in Devar Maschil Tulsa. And there the Gemara says we can learn from here to the weight of the Eshkalanovim, which the Meraglim brought back from Eretz Yisrael, that they had help from their counterparts to put on their shoulders how much it must have weighed. Now, L'chor is informed in the Gemara that these people who carried the Avanim, as we said, L'chor were able to carry up to 120 sa. But this becomes difficult because the Mishnayos and Oholos, and as well this is Sugi mentioned in several places in Shas, tell us that a Kli, which we are not capable of carrying at Mole Virekon, that it cannot be carried when it's full in the same way that it can be carried when it is empty, is not a Kli for Kabbalah's Tumma, and this is learned now from the limit of sack, that we say all kalim are dumi to sack, just like a kli made out of sackcloth can be carried both mali and rekon. Similarly, any kli for the Torah to recognize it as something being mekabel tuma has to have the capacity to be mitalta mali v'rekon. And the Gemara says, v'shiru chachomim, the shir is memsa. That the shir of a kli which is mitalta mali v'rekon is memsa. And that's because we assume that people can carry up to Memsa, and not more. And if so, our Gemara is problematic in that our Gemara is Mavur, that people are capable of carrying up to 120 sa. So the first question is, how do we reconcile that Kabbalah of Chazal with our Gemara? Secondly, we find evidence that in fact a Stam person is only capable of carrying much, much less than this. For example, Rashi in Bav Metzia Naf Pei writes, Mikana Talamed Shemasa Adam Benini Heim Chamesh Sa'in, that the capability of an average person is only to carry 5 sa, and not more. This is certainly much, much less than even 40 sa. And L'chor Manashach, we see evidence in our Gemara that people can carry more than 40 sa, and we see Rashi tells us that Stam people carry only 5 sa. So what does it mean that the Chazal were Mekabel, that Kli is Metatam Malavarekon up to 40 sa, not more and not less? So the beginning of the answer, L'chor, can be found in the Ritva and the Meiri, in Erev and Daf Yudalad, they're discussing the Mishnah in Oholos, which makes it clear that a Kli, which is not Metatal Mala Berekon, which means it's more than Memsa, is not makabel tumah. They bring a kasher of the raivid that we see that people are not able to carry even kalim which are less than memsa. And l'chora, why should memsa make a difference? If the whole limud is based on sak, the dimion to sak, that the kli must be carryable in its full state. So l'chora, why did Chazal b'chal give a number? Why don't we simply test and see if the kli is metaltel when it's male, the same way it's metaltel when it's rikon by average people? And the Ritvan, the Meiri, tell us that the answer is l'fi dor hamidbar shir hakosuv. This Kabbalah Chazal had was kfi the capabilities of the dor hamidbar, kfi the gvura of that door, that for that door, the kli which is dumia tesak, for the benonim of that door, was 40 sa. That the benonim of the door of the midbar were capable of carrying 40 sa, and the shear that the Chazal Makabel as the shear of a kli which is metatam alavirikon was based on the capability of the binonim in the time of the midbar. So Elchor will answer the question of Argamar that it's Mavur in the Ritva that it was only the binonim who were only able to carry 40 sa, but Elchor the Giborim were able to carry much more. And that Lechora could be the people who carried the Avonim from the Yard into Gilgal. It was very likely they were chosen by Yoshua because of their Gvura, because they were Giborim to be able to carry the rocks so far. And therefore, it's not Pella that if the average person at the time of the Midbar could carry 40 Sa, then the Giborim could carry 120 Sa. As well, the Meraglim, it might be safe to assume as well, were, their Chashivas were also Giborim, and that is perhaps one of the reasons why they were chosen. Therefore, also, it makes sense they're able to carry such a heavy load. However, the etzem idea that the Ritva and the Meiri say from the Ravid that the shear that Chazal or Mekabel, that a kli is machzik memsa, can be metaltum al varekon, is tzarech bir rav. All right, how did they answer the question? The question was that why don't we check and see whether a kli is metaltum al varekon? What does the number memsa have anything to do with the question of its doom into sack, if it is in fact, in reality, something which can be carried, is a portable kli. So what is it, how does it answer the question to say that Chazal were Mishayer, the Memsa, based on the shear of the Menonim at the time of the Midbar, because they had more karach than we do, and they were able to carry, even the Menonim were able to carry Memsa, but so what? L'chora, our Kalim and our Metzias, we are not capable of carrying Memsa. As Rashi said in Bava Metzia, we're only able to carry 5 sa. So l'chora, for us, a kli, which is much, much less than Memsa, is still not metatl melavirekon. How can we still say that it is makabel toma? So I saw a nice mahalach to this from Simcha Zisla Breides Atzal, the Rashi of Chevron, in his Biurim, on the Chidush HaMe'iri there in Erevin. He cites a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid in the third parak of Hilchos Kalim. There, the Rambam and the Ravid debate what's called a kli ha'asui l'nachas. In other words, a kli which is not made to be moved. It's made to be stationary and not be mobile and portable at all, but is not have memsa. It is theoretically carryable if one were to want, but it's not memsa. So that the Rambam holds, since it's also l'nachas, since it's not meant to be moved, even though it's not memsa, it is not makabel tumah, it's tahor. The Ravid says, no, since l'mais it's less than memsa, doesn't matter that it's also l'nachas, it's going to be tumah. And as well the opposite way around. The Rambam discusses the case of a kli, which is more than memsa, but l'mais it's made to be moved around. It is something which people move around. The Rambam says, that is in fact tumah. And the Ravid says, no, since it's more than memsa, so then Chazal's Kabbalah tells us that it is not going to be makabel tumah. It would seem the Rambam's Mekoros from the Gemara in the end of Chagiga that discusses the Shulchan, which is Asur L'Nacha, seems to that the Rambam understood that's a different category. But in any event, that's the Machlokes Rambam Ravid, a Kli, which is not meant to be moved, but it doesn't have the parameters of Memsa. How is the Tumah Vatar of that Kli going to be determined? According to Rambam, it's going to be determined based on its movability, whether or not it's made to be moved or it's meant to be moved. According to the Ravid, it's simply going to be based on the shear of the Kli. Now, Simcha Zisla writes that L'chora, the Ravid understood that the shear is the koveya, the shear is going to dictate the term of the tire of the kli, because the drasha that we made, the kli which is dumia to sak, is not simply to tell us that we need practically kelim, which are metaltam al varekon, but rather that drasha is in fact megala to us the shear of a kli, the shear of the godel of a kli, the size of a kli that the Torah recognizes being a kli. And beyond that shear, any kli which is beyond that size, which the Torah is indicating in this drasha, dumi tasak, is not going to be recognized as a kli. So therefore, when the Torah told us that something is dumi tasak, the Torah is in fact speaking about the Dor HaMidbar and said that any kli which in your door, in the Dor HaMidbar, is a portable, mobile kli, in other words, it's jumi to sak in your mitzias, in the world that you live in, for average people, that type of kli is a type of kli which is mekabel tumah. And anything which in that mitzias, in that reality that the Dor HaMidbar had, it is not jumi to sak. A kli which is beyond that size, it has the shear, which it is not mobile because of its size, that derived held will be something which is not jumi to sak, and therefore it has no tumah. And that does not change. The Torah was being kovev us what type of kalim are Lidoros Mekabel Tumah or not, based on the Mitzias in the Dor HaMidbar, whether or not it was something which is Dumi to Sak or not, a Kli which is Dumi to Sak in the time of the Midbar. That type of Kli was a Kli that Torah meant to say has Tumah because it is portable in their time. And therefore, it doesn't matter if in our time it isn't portable. Maisa, that type of Kli, the Torah said, has Tumah. And any Kli which is not portable at the time of the Dor HaMidbar, so then, even if in our situation it would be portable, and that's the case the Rambam had, a case of a kli which is meant to move the imdos more than memsa, the Rambam says, I don't care. The Torah explicitly told me, by telling me the halacha of yomit asak in the Dor HaMidbar, that any kli which is more than memsa will never even kabel tumah. It's not the type of kli the Torah meant to give a shir tumah. And that dovetails beautifully with the Rambam that the Meiri and the Ritva cite over here, that even though we, in our situation, are not able to carry more than several saw, but because of the time of the Midbar, they were able to carry all the mem saw, and that was the type of kli in which the Torah was kovea the shear for the gold of kelim, which are mekabel tumah, and that is the kelim the Torah discussed, and that certainly will not change, and that's the Rav Shita, which is beautiful, Lishitase, from the Rav Hilchos Kelim. However, the Rambam held nowadays, it would seem that the Rambam held that the possibility of moving a kli, that's going to be the determining factor of whether a kli is mekabel tumah or not. And to answer the Rambam from the question, if it's more than memsa, even if it is movable, why does that matter? L'chor is not dumi to sak. So Simcha Zilzal writes over that the Rambam understood that the question of portability is not the question as how much one person can carry. That la'olam, if we have a type of kli which is meant to be moved by 5 people or by 10 people, that also could be a kli which is mekabel tumah, because in that sense it's dumi to sak. It's meant to be moved by several people, so even though one person can move it, but because a group of people can, so then it has the possibility of being mekabel tumah. Therefore, the Rambam felt the only question of dumi to sak is whether or not it's meant to be moved or not. And if it's meant to move even by a lot of people, like the Rambam says, even if it's more than memsa, but if it's also litotal, so then it has the comparison to sak, that it's a movable kli, it's a portable kli, and has tumah. Whereas a kli, which is even less than memsa, and even one person could carry it, but it's not meant to be moved, it's meant to be stationary, the Rambam felt that's not going to have the property being dumi to sak, it's a maisa, it's not mitaltel, and it's going to be tor. Now, l'chora still, what does Rambam do with the Kabbalah of Chazal, that there's something called memsa, that memsa will make a difference in the tumah of a kelim, that's the chora the Rambam was coming from. So there, Simcha Zilzal says that no, the Rambam held that memsa is a completely different issue. Memsa is not determining the weight of the kli in order to tell us that if it's not movable by day one person, then it's not going to be mekabel tumah. A memsa relates to the fragility of the kli. A kli which is memsa, so generally speaking, that type of kli is not going to be moved, because if it's more than memsa, to move it will place the kli in danger. It's very vulnerable since it's such a big and oversized kli, and even if you use a lot of people, it's liable to break, and therefore, Chazal and Mashiach, that such a kli is not going to be kabel tumah because it's not going to be metalkal mole. If you try to carry it when it's mole, it's likely to break. And in the absence of any other knowledge, we can assume that's still true in our days as well, that any kli, which is when it's mole, going to be masik more than memsa, can be assumed is going to break unless we have other knowledge about this, and everyone will be mekabel tumah. But if specifically we know about a kli that's meant to be moved, even if it's mole when it's more than memsa, and then we know from the fact that it's omei to do this, that it will not break. So the Rambam felt that's okay. Then we can say that it will have tumah because the ma'is is meant to be moved. And as well, if on the opposite, we have a kli, which is much less a memsa, but if we know that if we move it when it's malay, it'll break, and therefore the kli is not meant to be moved at all, so then the Rambam holds its tahar, and it does not matter that it's less a memsa. So if the Rambam, memsa was just a stoma de milsa to tell us that presumably a kli of that size is not meant to be carried because then it will break due to its fragility when it's male, if it's so big, it's so oversized. But if we have specific knowledge about a kli which is less or more than that, that the portability of it's going to change based on its fragility, then the chanami, the dini tumah, will in fact go busser the actual portability of the kli. And if that is nothing to do with the Dor HaMidbar or our door, the only question is the kli meant to be carried or not? If we know for sure a big oversized kli is meant to be carried, it will have tumah. And if we know for sure that a small kli is not meant to be carried, it won't have tumah. If we don't know, so then we'll assume the shear is memsa, like Chazal told us. So that l'chora is the mahalach of the Rambam that also answers the questions from our Gemara and from the perceived metzias that we, in fact, are not able to carry memsa. So to summarize, we see in our Gemara that people are able to carry up to 120 sa, whereas we, in fact, are witness to the fact that people can carry much less, as Rashi and Bava Metzia noted. The Ritva and the Meiri in Erev and Afi Dalad made note of the fact that the shear of memsa, which is the shear for Kabbalah's Tumah, of Kalim, which are Metalta Malavirekon, was based on the Beinonim at the time of the Midbar, time of the Dur HaMidbar. And that explains Argimar was presumably discussing the Giborim, who were able to carry much more. And since then, there's been a Cholsha in the world, and therefore we're only able to carry much less than that. The Havana in such a Mahalach, that we were Koveya, the shear of Memsa based on the Gevura or the Binonim in the Dor HaMidbar, we saw from the Simcha Zissel in his Bi'urim on the Meiri that it's based on the Ravitz Havana that we, in fact, the Torah is determining for us the Godel of the Kli, the size of the Kli, which is Chazi for Tumah. That's what the Torah said, that whatever Kli is capable of being carried at the time of the Midbar is the type of Kli where we're discussing that has Tumah. Anything which is bigger than that is the type of Kli we're not discussing. Therefore, it doesn't matter what changes in people's capability of carrying, because the Maisa, it was the type of Kalim the Torah meant to talk about. Whereas Rambam, who said that Memsa is not the ultimate determining factor, but the really real determining factor is whether or not the Kli is meant to be carried, he understood that the point of Memsa was just a stalma de milsa when a Kli, which is that size, is probably going to break when it is carried mali, and therefore does not qualify for being dumi de sak. But if we have specific knowledge about any given Kli, that even when it's more than Memsa, it will be carried, then it'll be tame. And similarly, on the converse, if a Kli, when it's not Memsa, is not meant to be carried, it will be Tahar, according to the Rambam, whereas according to the Ravid, since Lamaisa, it is a type of Kli the Torah discussed, then it will be tame. The Gemara in Amud Beis, when it's discussing the sugya of the Meraglim, says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Dover zeh maseres b'yadeinu ma'avosenu, Meraglim al shem ma'aseyem nikru, that the Meraglim, we have a maseres, their names reflected their maisim. Now, the Keren Or in our sugya is marech to explain in a historical way the amkus of this member of the Gemara. He says we first need to define our terms. The Gemara says that the shemos of the Meraglim were nikru al shem the maisim that they have. The Gemara is using two terms, the word shame and the word maisa. We need to understand better what this means. And in this context, he quotes Medrash Rabbah, which says, Yesh shemos noim u'maseim noim. There are some people whose names are nice and pleasant, and their maisim are the same. Yesh shemos noim u'maseim mechuarim. And there are those who have nice and pleasant names, but their maisim do not meet that same standard. They are mechuarim. Yesh shemos ku'urim. And there are those that, even though their names are ku'urim, but nonetheless their maisim are noim. And explains that the difference between a shame and a maisa is that a shame refers to a person's atzmius, is ikr, what he is meant to be, the way his nitios, hativios are, the way that Hashem made him to be noted towards a certain path, and to be oches in a certain derech. And the Medrash is referring to people who have either a shame no'eh, or a shame ka'ur, based on whether or not the kochos and the teva that the Ribbono Shel Olam was matviya in them is going to lead them towards dvarim noyim, towards maaseim noyim, or towards maasam ku'urim, or towards a derech, which is ka'ur, which is not kfir the ratzon of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now, it says certainly a tzaddik can come from either type of person, even a person whose shmo ka'ur, if the tzaddik fights and is bocher, betov, and even though his nisyonos will be more difficult than the tzaddik whose shame is no'eh, he'll be able to also achieve the same status of maaseim no'im. Whereas the status whose shmo was no'eh, that his derech apiteva was more noted towards listening and following the return of Hashem, so then his bechira, his avoda, is to stick with his teva, to be oches in the derech, which is mutva for him in his teva, and not to choose other than his teva, and to be machshel himself in maaseim ku'urim. That's what the Medrash means. There are some people who shameless are noyim and the marseim are noyim, that the teva, the ikr of their toloda, leads them towards the path of maaseim noyim, and their avod is to choose to follow the way their teva is mutva, and they end up with maaseim noyim, that their maaseim lumaisa in the poyal, the way they act in this world, reflect who their shame is. There are some people that their shameless are noyim, but they choose wrong, and they choose against their teva, and they're machshel themselves and choose ra, and becomes maaseim ku'urim. And there's some people who turn it around, that even though their shame is ku'urim, even though their shemos are reflective of a tolada that did not naturally lend itself towards following their tzon Hashem, but they have a ma'amatz, and they are bocher betov, to turn their maaseim into maaseim noyim. He he's nota towards the Derech HaTov, even though his natural teva was not to be Bocher Batov. So if that's the understanding of the difference between Shem and Maisim, he says that's what our Gemara is saying about the Meraglim. That even though the Meraglim were tzaddikim, like Chazal Darshan and the Medrash, it says Anoshim, whatever that the Meraglim are called Anoshim, Anoshim refers to tzaddikim, but they were tzaddikim who weren't Maaseim Noyim. And that's where Rabbi Yitzchak is saying our Gemara, that it's a Masores Biyadenu. We have a Masores that the real Shemos of the Meraglim was Al-Shem, the Maisim Chu'arim that came out. In other words, the Etzem Shem, the Etzem Tolada and Teva, of the Meraglim was Mechuarim, was something which did not lead itself to follow the Derech Hashem. And even though they were tzaddikim, like it says in the Chazal, Anoshim tzaddikim, but they were tzaddikim who were Shemos Mechuarim, that the Etzem Teva themselves didn't lend itself to follow the Ritzon Hashem, but Maaseim Noyim. That was the tzidkus of the Meraglim. But because they had this Shem Mechuar, because they had this Teva, which was Ra, they were in very great danger. They were very vulnerable to not being able to withstand any sun because their etzem teva was something that was not lead them to be bocher betov, and there was be a constant battle, a constant fight to be able to overcome that natural teva and to come through with ma'asim noyim. That's what our Gemara says, that in the end, what happened was the meraglim were nikra al shem ma'asim. At the end, the ma'asim ended up matching the shame. The ma'asim ended up matching what their natural teva was, that they turned around after the nisayon gadol in Eretz Yisrael, to not give motzi diba on the land and to come through with emuna and bitachon on Hashem, that they failed in, and they were not able to maintain their status of shemos mechuarim, but ma'asim noyim, but rather now they failed that the Maisim reflected the Shemos, that's what our Gemara is saying, that the Maisim also became Chuarim, just like the Shemos did, and that's the downfall of the Meraglim, that because they had this natural Teva, they failed in the area of the Nisayon Gadol. The only two who survived, who came through, as our Gemara says, is Yeshua and Kalev. Yeshua, Moshe Rabbeinu davened for him, that even though he had this Nisayon Gadol of a Shem Ka'ur, that his Teva was not natural in itself to serve Hashem, but Hashem, is rather Moshe, Davin added the letter to Yeshua that Hashem should be with him, that Hashem should allow his shame to be mishapech to a shame that reflects the Avodas Hashem to have the Komo Shi'acham Atzas HaMeraglim, and that's how Yeshua's Nitzal because of the special tefillin as well. Kalev had to go to Chevron to Davin because Kalev as well had this Masores, as Amara says, that his shame was Batsam Kaur, but he was a tzaddik, that he maintains his Maaseim Noyim, he's able to overcome, and that was a special tefillin that he had to make, the Ma'amatz, that he should not fall, and then he saw that the Meraglim fell. Karen Ora adds at the end that he thinks the reason that Kalev, who was from Sheva Yehuda, and Yeshua, who was from Sheva Yosef, from Ephraim, they were the two who were able to withstand, is that they are going to be the ones, Besof Yomav, Mashiach ben Yosef, and Mashiach ben David, is from Sheva Yehuda, who will eventually bring us back there to Israel in the Geula Shleim b'Meher b'Yomeinu, and as a simon to the Tzatzayim of those Shvatim of Yosef and of Yehuda, so the representatives in the Meraglim of Yeshua for Sheva Yosef and of Yehuda of Kalev, they were able to withstand the Nisayon Eretz Yisrael. They had that extra special connection to Eretz Yisrael, just like Meher B'Yomeinu, Mashiach ben Yosef, and Mashiach ben David as well, will bring us back to Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara in the Hemshech relates how Kalev was Pirish Mi'atzos HaMeraglim, V'holach V'nishtatach Al Kivri Avos in Chevron. And he went to Chevron to ask for Rachamim that he should be Zoche to not be Nichlal in the Atzos HaRashayim. In the Sefer Ben Yoyada, in our Sugya, from the Ben Ish Chai, he raises a few serious questions in this Gemara. First of all, the Lashon of the Gemara's Mashma, the Kalev was already aware of the Atzos HaRashayim, even on the way when they went up to Eretz Yisrael. It says, as soon as they came to the Negev, as soon as they came to Eretz Yisrael, immediately, Vayavu at Chevron, immediately, the Kalev was mafresh himself, as our Gemara says, from the group of the Meraglim, went to Chevron. How did Kalev know already at the beginning that this was the intention of the Meraglim, even before they came to Eretz Yisrael? That's the first question that he poses. And secondly, is Medayik the Lashon HaGemara? What does it mean? Shapirish Kalev Mi'atzas HaMeraglim. Why didn't it say Shapirish Kalev Mi'chet HaMeraglim? What is the Lashon of Atzas HaMeraglim? It's much sure there was an Eitzah, there was some Chesmon that the Meraglim had that they were trying to achieve in an agenda through being Motzi Diba on the Eretz. So the Ben Yehoyada explains that in essence there are two types of Chatoim, and two types of Yetzir Hara, the two types of ways in which Yetzir Hara affects the person. One way is where the Yetzir Hara tells a person, even though you know it's a chet, even though you know that it's the wrong thing to do, and you know that it's an avera in which you'll have to suffer the consequences for, nonetheless, you should be chote, it's kedai for you, even though you're aware of what's going to happen. And that type of chet, a person is really left on his own. He has to fight the tzurhar on his own with his own yerushamayim, as the Gemara says, hakol bidei shamayim chutz miyerushamayim. That's a person's own responsibility to wage that battle when he's aware, when he knows that the chet is meforsim to him, that he should not fall into the trap of yitzhahara to do it despite that knowledge. But he says that there's a second type of yitzhahara, in which yitzhahara blurs the lines. He makes a person think that when something isn't really so bad, that even though he knows maybe it's not the best thing to do, maybe he can rationalize himself that it's okay, that he's not going to get punished for it, that maybe there are some redeeming features to it, that it could be construed sometimes as a mitzvah, as something which has a positive value to do. And on that type of Yetzer Hara, says the Ben Yoyada, a person can dive into Hashem for help. That type of Yetzer Hara, where the Yetzer Hara is going to blur the lines, blur the distinctions between what's right and what's wrong, so a person can ask the Ben Shalom for clarity and the wherewithal to see things clearly and not fall into the trap of the Yetzer Hara. And this second type of Yetzer that the Yetzer Hara gives him, that it's really not so bad, it's really perhaps a good thing, has redeeming features, to see things in their real light, and that way be able to withstand the attack of the Yitzhahara. And then whatever's left to do, that even once he knows it's Asr, still the Yitzhahara tells him to do, to be chote against Hashem, that's up to him. Like it says, that we mentioned, kol bidei shamayim chutz miyerei shamayim, that's a person's own battle to wage without the help of the Ribono Shel Olam. So what, with that background, Ben Yehuda says that the Eitz of the Meraglim, that's Lashon Gemara, Atzas and Meraglim, was that the lines were blurred. They had a cheshbon that maybe this was a good thing to be motzi dibah on the arts. Maybe this was, there were redeeming features to it. What could possibly be good about hatzas dibah? She says that they wanted to be mezaka, the Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, with an even higher display and exhibition of emuna and bitachon in Hashem. If even after they heard about the difficult battles which lay ahead for the Eretz Yisrael, about Efesi Azam and their Anokim Eretz Yisrael, and all of the trials and tribulations which awaited them to come in Eretz Yisrael, despite that, they put their trust and their faith in Hashem, and they came into Eretz Yisrael, certainly their Schos and their Schar would be much, much greater. And that was the Eitzah of the Meraglim. The Meraglim weren't trying to be Motzi Diba in order not to come to Eretz Yisrael. They're trying to be Motzi Diba in order, they had a rationalization. They wanted to give more Schar, more Schos to Am Yisrael. Now this was a Chet. This was Atzas HaYetzer, that they should see something which was a Chet, which was Diba, which was going to cause the Am to be Bochum Misaba, and not want to trust in Hashem. They saw it as a good thing, as a mitzvah, to give the Am more Schar. And that type of Eitzah, of the Atzas HaYetzer, that the Yetzer makes us see things which really are negative, and to see them in a light which can be construed as positive, that Tefillah helps for. That Ezer and Siata from Hashem can play a role. And that's what Moshe did for Yoshua. He said, Ko Yoshiacha mi Atzas HaMeraglim, that Hashem should save you, that you should have the Seshu Siata Deshmaya, you should not see things in a blurry light, in an unclear light, but rather you should see things in their clarity, and for what it really is, that it really is just an Avera. As well, that's what Kalev knew, that's what their agenda. They told Kalev on the way, that's what they wanted to do. That's how Kalev even knew beforehand that this was their Eitzah. And he went, and he davened for Hashem for help. They should not fall into the hands of this Yitzhahara. This is the type, as we mentioned, the type of Yitzhahara which Hashem does help for. And that's where Kalev went after hearing this was their agenda, this was the plan of the other Meraglim, to be saved from the blurring of the lines which Yitzhahara could place for him in the form of this Eitzah of the Meraglim, and to see things for what they really are, and hence withstand the dealings with the Yitzhahara, be able to have enough Yerushamayim not to be maskim to the Eitzah of the Meraglim. That's the Mahalach of the Ben Yoyada here, to explain the Lashon of the Atzas Meraglim, as well as how Kalev already knew that was their agenda. That was, in fact, the plan of the Meraglim, to turn something which was bad into something which could be construed as a mitzvah, to give Bnei Israel more schar for their emunah and bitachon, and the daven, as well, Moshe Rabbeinu daven for Yoshua, that he should not be fall into the clutches of the Yetzer Hara to see this as a mitzvah, but really to see it in its true light. And that's what the Gemara brings the pasuk, Avdi Kalev Ekev Haisa Ruach Acheres Ima. Ruach Acheres means that he had this wherewithal to withstand the Eitzah of the Yetzer Hara, to see things in an unclear light, but rather he had a ruach acheres, he had clarity in his own mind. That was what he was zochah to after davening in Hebron. To have that clarity, he zochah to the ruach acheres, to see things what they really were, and not to know that this Eitzah was in fact just an atzas hayetzer, and it's really a chet and not a good thing, to give Bnei Israel more tzchar, more tzchus, to be boteich in Hashem. It was enough they should be boteich in Hashem, even knowing the Eretz Yisrael is good. That's what Ribono Shel Olam wanted, that they should be boteich in him for what he said, and they shouldn't be maler than nisayon by telling him about the Dibas HaAretz. Now, somewhat by way of contrast to the Ben Yoyada, I wanted to present the Mahalach of the Shla in his Pirush to Parsha Shlach on the various angles of looking at the mission of the Meraglim. He says that there are really three ways of approaching that which Bnei Yisrael and Moshe Rabbeinu agreed as well had in mind to send the Meraglim. There was the Derech HaTzadikim, the Derech HaBinonim, and the Derech of the Rishayim. He says the Derech of Tzadikim was the Derech of Moshe Rabbeinu, who was an Ish Tzadik, and he had in mind, in fact, this Kavana, which the Ben Yoyada mentioned, that the Meraglim should go to Eretz Yisrael and see the Chosek HaKananim, to see how difficult it would be to overcome and to conquer all the nations that were there, how strong they were, and all their military might. And as a result, Bnei Yisrael would have to have bitachon in Ribono Shel Olam. There would be some their bitachon in him to realize that the only way that they would be successful in overcoming was by laying it all on Ribono Shel Olam and not thinking at all kochi v'otzim yodi would help them in the very least. He brings a nice pshat in the pasuk in Parashas Ekev. It says, "Kisomer bilvavcha rabim hagoyim ha'elim imeni eicha ucha laharisham." That when you will say that the goyim which surround me are too difficult for me to overcome, lo sira mehem. The pasuk concludes, then you shall not fear. And the shlo taitre, the pasuk means that only when you come to the realization that your back is against the wall, you have no other recourse other than bitachon in Hashem, then you're zocha to siyat ishmaya and lo sira mehem, then you have nothing to fear. So long as a person still has in his mind, koch v'atzimadi will help me at least somewhat, then he has what to fear. If he doesn't have the full siyat ishmaya, he's not placing his full bitachon in Hashem, then he has to fear that he might fail. That was the kavanah of Moshe Rabbeinu, in fact, to give Bnei Yisrael reason to put all of the bitachon in the Ribono Shel Olam. The Derech HaBinonim, he says, was the Derech of Am Yisrael as a whole. They were not looking for any Lashon Hara, any Diba Al Haaretz, but rather they didn't want to be Samech on a Neis. They wanted to know exactly how to prepare themselves for the upcoming battles and exactly what lay in store from them, exactly what would be the best ways of approaching the battle. And therefore, they sent Meraglim like anyone else in the situation who was relying on natural means and that was not being Samech al Hanes, would do so in order to prepare themselves well. And he explains this is why as well Yeshua sent Meraglim before the battle with Yericho, because it was as an effort not to be Samech al Hanes and to find out through natural means what would be the best way to attack and to approach the upcoming battles and fights. And certainly there was no kavanah of Diba Bechla, there was no Eitzara at all in the Etzem idea of sending Meraglim to not be Samech al Hanes, but to go to about it through Derech HaTeva. That was the Derech HaBinonim of Bnei Yisrael. And then there's the third Lashon, the third level of Derech HaRishayim, which is the Mahalach of the Meraglim themselves. The Meraglim themselves, it is well known based on the Zohar, that they were fearful that when they came to Eretz Yisrael, they wouldn't be the Nesim anymore, they wouldn't have any leadership, they would lose all of the greatness that was granted to them in the Midbar. And as a result, they want to take pains to make sure that Bnei Yisrael would remain in the Midbar, and therefore they tried to scare them by saying that it was not Shayach, it was impossible to be successful in conquering Eretz Yisrael. Now the Shlom notes that it would seem that there's an apparent stira. On the one hand, as we noted earlier, Chazal tell us that originally, when the Meraglim set out on their journey, they were ksherim, they were not the Rishayim. And on the other hand, the Gemara at the top of Daf Lamed Hayyim and Aleph says, "Makash halichasim lebi asan lechet," that just like when they came back, they had in mind to say diba. Similarly, when they went, they also were had in mind to be chayte and to not say the truth. So the Shla resolves this problem. He says that they didn't originally plan to mamash be motzi diba, but rather they had selfish intentions, as he explained, that they wanted to give reason to Israel to be cautious about wanting to go near to Israel, and therefore they planned on telling about all of the difficulties which lay ahead of them. And at that point, they didn't have in mind to say diba ra mamash, they didn't have in mind to be kofar in Hashem, as the Gemara later on says in the Aflamid, hey. And that's what the Gemara means, that they were ksherim. They were selfish, perhaps. They were concerned about their own kavod, but they did not have in mind to say sheker and to say dibara. Once, however, they got to Eretz Yisrael, then there's avera goreres avera, and they came to the stage of kfira and of being motzi diba mamash, and saying lashon hara, and that's what happened in the end, that their chet was the terrible chet of the Meraglim, which was the atzas diba and the divrei sheker about Eretz Yisrael in order to instill fear in Bnei Yisrael. Now, it could be miyashev and shtim a little bit the Ben Yoyada with the Shla, that it's true that there would have been a noble kavana on the part of the Meraglim, as the Ben Yoyada said, to try to be ma'ala, the bitachon of the Bnei Israel in Ribbono Shel Olam, by telling them how difficult it was going to be for them, as the Shlosh said that was in fact Moshe's kavona. And had they done that, had they went about the retelling of the what they witnessed in Eretz Yisrael by saying, yes, it'll be difficult, yes, it'll be challenging, but we have the Ribbono Shel Olam to be botechan, that might have been fine, that wouldn't have been, not have been a chet at all. But because they mixed in their own personal kavonas, that in fact they had an agenda to get Bnei Israel to not want to go to Israel, then things got out of hand in their chait, that they spoke diba, as the Shlosh said, and they caused Bnei Israel to be boche umisabel, as Gemara later on describes in Naflam and Hay, and that was a terrible chait. And even though they had good intentions in their etzah, perhaps, like the Bnei Yehuda said, but eventually, because they mixed in some other selfish agendas, like the Shlosh wrote, so at the end of the day, the avera was misgadol through avera goreres avera, and they became the chotim, the kofrim that the meraglim ended up being. That they in fact said, as the Gemara says in Lamed Hey, that kilu kaviyochel Hashem is not able to take us near to Israel. Hashem is not able to beat the Canaanim. That was the sofa, the avera that they came to, because they started off with mixed intentions, with the kavana was not completely rotsui, they were somewhat selfish, and they came to the aver at the end of the day. But originally, they had a good etza that might have had merit in order to bring bitachon to the am, to realize that the only one they had to be botechan was Hashem, as Moshe Rabbeinu himself had in mind. So to summarize, we see that the Ben Yoyada writes that they had good intentions, they did have a good etza, and that was what Kalev was concerned about, that he knew this etza, even though it had a merit to it, but it was an atas hayetzer, something that the lines could be blurred, and he went to Chevron to Davin, they should be saved from the nisayon of this etza. The Shlosh said this etza was in fact what Moshe Rabbeinu had in mind when he wanted to send the Meraglim, that they should have the knowledge that there's no other way they could be successful except for the Ribbono Shel Olam helping them, and that would help them put their Batech, the Bitachon and Hashem, in a complete and total fashion. The Am had a mid-level Kavana to simply approach it with natural means, not to be Samach Lanes, and the Meraglim, because they were also concerned about selfish reasons, that they wanted their own covenant to be preserved before they got to Eretz Yisrael, so that led to the terrible Aveira that they eventually committed of Emotzi Lashon Hara and telling Bnei Yisrael that not only is it will be difficult, but Hashem in fact will not be able, Chas V'Shalom, to help them beat the Meraglim, the Canaanim in Eretz Yisrael, and that was the chait that eventually caused Bnei Yisrael to be a Bochum Mis'abel as a result of their Dibora.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.